This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Coming to Joy 94.9 Sunday nights is a brand new serialised radio sitcom, Friends of Dorothy, and it's set in a queer share house in 1984 Sydney. I want to go there right now. Think 80s nostalgia, razor-sharp humour, a little chaos, and a lot of heart. Well, joining us today are the show's creator and director, David Rector, and one of his stars, Tessa Nielsen. Welcome to Joy Drive.
Thank you so much.
Great to chat with you. David, let's start. This is has been a bit of a personal project for you. What inspired you to write Friends of Dorothy? Love the title. And why set it in 1984?
Thank you, Warren. I have always been pretty fascinated, I guess, with what came before me, but I ended up writing about my own experiences. But for younger audiences, it may be of interest to know what it was like, you know, for queer folk back 40 years ago. And, you know, like a writing teacher said to me, you either write what you know or you write science fiction. So I've written what I know.
That's fabulous. Now, I mean, back in 1984, it was such an interesting time. It was fun. There were good times. There was also, a horrible time approaching. There was a sense of fear as well. Will you cover those times as well in the series?
We do, yeah. So there's two series that will be airing on Joy. And, yeah, it certainly has its ups and downs. It's lighter and darker moments. I'm certainly not going to ignore that. But, yeah, there's a lot of courage, there's a lot of humour and heart, and I think that that's universal for queer folk, and I think right across the ages we are that way, we live that way, we need to be that way.
Tessa, tell us about your character, Steph. What drew you to her?
So Steph is probably my all-time favourite character that I've ever had the opportunity to play. She is the quintessential alpha woman, large and in charge in the household, but with a beautiful heart, just the kind of person who brings people together despite their differences. I absolutely loved the fact that she was a solo female in a household full of men, and yet she was the sort of unofficially elected leader. A delight to play such an awesome woman whose sexuality isn't a plot tool, but really just an inherent part of who she is and essential to representing the story. Like that was an enormous privilege.
We need more Stephs today. Where is she?
Absolutely.
What's the dynamic like between Steph and Mikey, and how does that evolve throughout the series?
So I would probably describe Steph and Mikey. So Steph and Mikey are best friends. They have been since they were kids. They obviously found each other, I like to think, sort of in the early years of school, when they probably gravitated towards each other as that inherent sense that we may all relate to around, this is someone who is like me, so different, but also like me, and we're different together. And they're just united in that, and their dynamic is hilarious. So Steph is somebody who has no problem putting people in their place, and Mikey is flagrantly, flamboyantly inappropriate, and it's the best thing ever.
David, now you've had a career in TV from Good News Week to Catalyst. I mean, they're pretty significant shows. What was it like transitioning to a scripted radio comedy from TV?
Yeah, well, I actually had a 15-year hiatus after I left broadcasting. So I moved into being a counsellor in the queer community, so that really brought me a lot of experience and brought me up to date, which was really good as I was aging, to be able to be around, you know, queer folk of all ages and genders and, you know, all of that. And but I think I've been harbouring this wish to tell these stories and to have a bit of fun. I think that comedy's become really sanitised and really safe, and a lot of the comedy on streaming services doesn't look and sound like comedy. So I'm an old-fashioned guy, and I wanted to return to that quick, you know, banter, quirky characters, and yeah, so that I think I never lost that streak, that wish to, yeah, sort of tell those stories. But yeah, I had a long break in between.
Something that I love is that you've said this show, it's a love letter to queer resilience. I suppose in your role outside of TV and radio, have you seen a lot of resilience? And do you bring that into the series?
Yeah, that's a great question, Warren. Thank you. I having come out in 1983, I was really, really lucky to be taken under the wing of some older folks, and that, I guess, was a lot of role modelling for me. And so, you know, I think wanting to share parts of those stories, literate through the series, absolutely furnish the characters with the sort of qualities that, I guess, it's hopeful. You know, it's called a queertopia. They don't always get along, but I think that's a microcosm of our community. A lot of people think that we are all one big happy family. We aren't always. When we need to, we unify, and we have done in history, and we will continue to.
Mm.
But the basis for any good story, I think, whether it's drama or whether it's comedy, is some conflict. And even between Steph and Mikey, it's a perfect microcosm in a way, because we haven't always gotten on with each other. There are major differences. Just being gay or, you know, being queer doesn't unify us. So this house and this whole setting over the two series is a bit of an experiment. Can queer folk live together, and are they able to live in harmony? And you will find out.
We're chatting with David Rector and Tessa Nielsen about Friends of Dorothy, which is Joy's brand new radio sitcom set in a queer share house back in 1984 Sydney. It sounds like so much fun. It's cheeky, heartfelt, full of that unmistakable 80s flair. You can catch it Sundays, 10 p.m., am I right, on Joy 94.9?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Tessa, who plays Steph, comedy, it's all about timing. How do you bring that to life in a purely audio format?
Yeah, that's such an interesting thing, because initially when we were preparing and reading David's fantastic writing, we never were actually ever physically in the same room until we got to the recording studio. We first rehearsed over Zoom, which was a fascinating experience in itself, doing table reads and with David refining his writing as he was watching us rehearse and prepare. And then to then get into a recording booth and to try to capture the zing of comedy without being able to necessarily physically work off each other to a camera was something completely different. But what I think is a testament to David's incredible comedic writing was that it hit every time. I mean, I can say that because I was enjoying it as I was getting to perform it. But I think objectively that it was it's a testament to the quality of the writing, that the comedy timing was always there, and the chemistry, even though it was just at. You'll hear it throughout, that even coming through in the voices and the vocal responses feels so authentic. And it's almost, it represents the family that David created, that just came to life in this little booth. I hope that all comes through and everyone can enjoy that.
Do you have a favourite moment or scene from the series that made you laugh out loud during the recording when you were by yourself?
Oh, my goodness. I can tell you that there have been many moments in that recording studio where I've had to actively muffle the microphone there so that I'm not laughing over other people's lines. There are some real characters. I can't wait for you to hear the nosy neighbour, Viv.
Oh, nosy. We've got a nosy neighbour.
Oh, yes. And she has some fabulously un-PC commentary to make. And I would say a lot of Viv's, the nosy neighbour Viv's moments are amongst my absolute favourites.
David, the title Friends of Dorothy, you touched on this already. It's loaded with history. Can you talk about what it means and why it felt right for the show to include this historical context in the show?
Yeah, I was introduced to it, obviously, when I first came out, and I was at a dinner party and, you know, guys were saying, did you know so-and-so is a friend of Dorothy? And I said, what? Who are you talking about? And it was explained to me that it was a code, that it was a code expression. And, you know, even then we were much more, you know, open than we would have been, you know, 10, you know, 20 years earlier. But I'm still kind of curious as to how much the queer folk live in secret or they behave in secret, whether we still use code words, whether we still have secrets. And so I'm so curious to know whether people will find the series illuminating because they'll go, well, gee, we don't have to do that now, or maybe we still have to do that. It felt like a good title for a show. I guess I've always been a bit fascinated with queer codes. You know, we're such a creative group of people.
We're masters at hiding ourselves and talking in codes.
Right. And I do, there's a lot of that that, you know, comes in and out of the storylines, but also the house is a place where they don't have to speak in code, which is what completely flummoxes the neighbour, because she hears all this stuff. And so she's the observer, she's the outsider, which is a switch on usually the queer person is the outsider. Mm. So all this stuff in this safe haven is, wow, what's this, you know, and even amongst, you know, the characters, they're like, I didn't know that. You know, Steph will say, I didn't know that about gay men, and vice versa. You know, like the gay men will find out something about the lesbian experience. Go, oh, really? You know, so, yeah, I think there's lots to learn from each other.
Oh, wouldn't it be good if we could all do that now? All members of the acronym LGBTIQA+ could learn something from each other. Now, you recorded both in Melbourne and in LA. How did that international process shape the production?
Well, your audiences can't see me, but I've got a head of white hair. So I think I've probably aged about 25 years in the last 2 years. Look, it's been interesting. We started on Zoom, then we sort of communed, you know, in Melbourne because most of the cast were in Melbourne. Actually, Tess and I aren't, but then two of the cast moved to Los Angeles, and no way was I going to recast, no way was I going to rewrite. So I can't explain because that would kind of give it away, but they're all there. We somehow managed to keep everyone in the show, and the magic and a lot of goodwill. Yeah, sorry, I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely. Let's just explore one other thing. I want to talk about chosen family and identity itself. How important do you think, let's go back to the 80s, and also I suppose thinking that people may not have lived through that period, how important is chosen family to us?
I think that is quite a through line in the series, because as dysfunctional as that household is, and including the next door neighbour, she becomes a friend of a friend of Dorothy. That family absolutely is where you find it. And so that's one of, I don't think I had a thesis, but I think that's certainly one of the ingredients that I wanted to weave, because they all have their own issues with their families. And that's the truth. And I don't, you know, that could still be true now for, you know, for queer folk, but it certainly was then. So yes, I think that's a really important ingredient.
Both excited about the launch?
Are you over to you, Tess?
Sorry, say that again.
Are you excited?
Oh, am I ever? I can't wait for people to meet the Friends of Dorothy in all its glory. I think people will laugh. Mm. They will cackle. They will laugh behind closed hands, like, should I be laughing at that? And then laugh some more. And probably even shed a tear, because there really are some, like what you're talking about now, the heart of the matter, the chosen family and the identity we find with our people. I think, and the fact that this is written from the lens of someone who experienced this at that time. It's the lived experience, and now being brought to life again, I think that's incredibly special that we can see what that those dynamics were like in that social and cultural context and see how things have changed or not in some ways. But that is really special, the authenticity coming through of that time through David's heart.
Friends of Dorothy, it premieres this Sunday. It's 10 p.m. here on Joy 94.9. You can check out the website, friendsofdorothy.in, for behind-the-scenes content, episode guides, and character bios, and follow Joy on socials for updates and some sneak peeks as well. David Richter and Tessa Nielsen, I can't wait to see it. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
Thank you for having us, Warren.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.